Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit. Bandwidth for All About Android is provided by CacheFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of All About Android is brought to you by Blue Apron. Blue Apron will send you fresh, high-quality ingredients to cook delicious meals with simple step-by-step instructions right to your door. See what's on the menu this week and get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/twit. That's blueapron.com/twit. Hello and welcome to another episode of All About Android. This is episode 280, recorded on Tuesday, August 23rd, 2016. We are your weekly source of latest news, hardware, and apps for the Android faithful. I'm Jason Howell.
I'm Ron Richards.
And I'm Florence Ion.
Hello. Converging on a new set. I mean, it kind of looks like the old set, but it's a new set. It's in a new studio,
basically. If you look really quickly, like if you just do that, it looks like the old set. But then if you look at it, you notice, oh, it's different.
So yeah, it's like the green is a lot more electric right now.
Yeah, a little boogie woogie.
It
used to
be as vibrant. Yeah. But I kind of like it. It's like a green fire lit behind us.
It's a little Games of Thrones, a little wildfire going on. Hopefully it doesn't explode.
You might notice on the other side of the table is this guy. His name's Matteo Doni. He's been on the show many times, and it's great to have him back of coolsmartphone.com. How's it going, Matteo?
Very well, thanks. Thanks for having me back on the show.
Absolutely. Tell us a little bit about, because you've kind of, your scenario has changed a little bit. You're more focused on cool smartphone now, right now. What are you doing there?
I am. Skyscanner made, my previous employer made some large changes to the way they're developing software and delivering quality software. And they decided that test engineering as a discipline was going to disappear. So I am now in between permanent employment, spending a lot of time blogging, going to conferences, and deciding what to do next with myself. So it's been a very pleasant summer, even in Scotland, and I'm now planning a lot of travel until the end of October, with a couple of trips to Petaluma in the middle as well.
Excellent. Yay. So you're going to be around in October. Let us know when. Come on up to the studio, see the new studio, and sit at the table.
Thank you. I'll be there at the end of September on vacation, and then at the end of October after Big Android Barbecue Texas.
Dang, you're busy.
Yeah.
Even though you just explained your scenario, that doesn't mean you're sleeping this whole time.
He's a jet setter. You can't hold Matteo down.
You can't hold Matteo down. That's what they say. That's what they say in the industry.
Thank you.
It's true.
Well, as my bio sometimes says, I'm busy filling the internet with cat pictures and travel content.
And occasionally goats.
You said it. You said the G word really early in the show.
Well, I mean,
is this a shtick I'm not aware of?
This is just the thing.
Oh, this is an ongoing.
Because every time Matteo is on the show, I'm gone. So this is like the first time we've managed to like sync up.
So in about an hour, you're gonna find out what the joke is all about. So you stay tuned.
Okay.
This show is for you. Yes, we've got alligator cases.
Mockadile.
That's authentic alligator cases, mockadile cases, and goats. It's just
I will give Matteo this credit that he is the only recurring guest on All About Android that actually has recurring bits that carry over from show to show. I mean, really, the closest would be Phil Nickinson, and that's just general grumpiness. But Matteo's actually got several different bits that he can go into at any moment. So you just, hold on tight. It's going to be one of those shows. So.
I do wonder if Phil knows that his bit is general grumpiness. That makes me laugh.
I mean that both in a general capacity as well as a rank. So
perfect.
Could it be that Phil is grumpy because I beat him in the App Arena with Goat Simulator when he brought Slack to the table?
Probably. That's certainly not hurting. That's not helping at all. So.
Maybe I'm glad I'm not on the show when you guys are.
Oh, no. It hasn't even begun yet. Just hang in there. Yeah, it's going
to
be good.
This is a pretty great show to be on, I would say. This is one of the episodes, One of these happens every year where the new version of Android is unleashed.
Unexpected,
kind of. There were a few leaks or whatever, but it happened. So we're going to talk about the official release of Nougat, a.k.a. Nougat, the Huawei Honor 8. We've got the ZTE Axon 7. We've got the Xiaomi Mi Max. We've got the Galaxy Note 7 in-house.
This is poor. You can't have a major OS release on the same week as a ton of hardware. It's all happening at once.
We're spoiled. Yeah, we also have a preview of the unreleased Allo app. Android Police has some sort of source that is feeding
magic
them,
source.
Feeding
magic
them all sorts of
It's a
of
magic
insight.
Jelly bean. They just plant it in the ground and it grows.
Yeah,
leaks.
It's a magic 8-ball and they just shake it and they go, I think it has encrypted messaging. That's what the 8-ball says. All right, that is it. That's what we're going to talk about today. That is not it, as in the end of the show. It's only the beginning, starting with the news.
We've got a brand new OS, a brand new studio, but it's the same old Android news.
Very nice.
It is the same old Android news.
Kind of negative on us. The same old Android news.
No,
because you guys are really reliable, and good. Right. So it doesn't have to be different.
You're right. Now I'm seeing it your way, Ron. Maybe that wasn't so hot. Just think about that. Noodle on that the entire episode, Brian. I want you to feel very badly about what you didn't intend for us to interpret your news segment with. Okay?
I'll work on it.
All right, good. So we've got stuff to talk about around Nougat, because Nougat is a thing that exists.
It exists now. It's officially official. It officially exists.
Okay, so show of hands at the table. Who now has Nougat on their device?
Ron's on the Nexbit Robin.
Bingo.
But
does Nexus 9?
Oh yeah, the Nexus 9?
I haven't upgraded the Nexus 9. Okay. I could do it. I haven't done it yet. But I don't want to spoil the thunder on Nexbit, but there's a reason why I'm okay with waiting. So that's all right.
All right. Yeah. Well, we'll talk about that in a second here. Who is getting Nougat right now? It's rolling out to Nexus 5X, the 6, the 6P, the 9, the Player, and the Pixel C. Those are the Player.
Nexus Player.
Don't hate the Nexus Player.
Just hate the game.
Just hate
the game. Because the game is what makes the Player play.
Mm-hmm. And sometimes it plays games that you hate.
Yes.
Maybe you don't like those games, so don't install them. So there you go. If you're into flashing the image, you can't wait or whatever, you can do that. I also noticed that, or at least I heard anyways, that if you aren't getting that OTA yet, you can opt into the beta, and what it pushes to your phone is the official. So that's one way of getting it immediately. So I don't know. Matteo, you have it. What are your thoughts?
I've been using the preview since I believe it was announced in March, and I've been going through each alpha and beta test as it's been going. Mm-hmm. I've been doing it on my Nexus 6P and my Nexus 9, and the experience on the two devices has been very, very different. Whereas on the Nexus 6P it was usable almost from alpha level, the Nexus 9 only became usable in the last couple of releases.
Oh, interesting.
So last night I updated both devices to the new version, to the final release version, and the Nexus 9 improved further, whereas the Nexus 6B was pretty much the same. It's also interesting to see how Google have rolled out this update. So if you're in the beta program and you're playing around with the previews, it was just a small incremental update of around about 40 to 50 megabytes, depending on device you were using.
Yeah, it was a really easy update.
It was easy, painless, and much faster than doing a full-on OS update. Mm-hmm. So I think that's both a reward to the testers and testament to the fact that the final beta release was pretty close to production stuff. So
it was really
everything
quick.
Seemed...
Yeah, I mean, a quick download because it's such a small size. I mean, compared to, getting the full image, apparently they were able to kind of work it out so that you didn't have to download everything. It was just kind of an incremental upgrade on top of what you already had. And I also noticed upon the first boot, when Leo got the update on his 6P, he did the reboot, it did the Android stuff, blah, blah, blah. And we were waiting because I didn't notice on mine. whether it skipped past the optimizing apps part, which is one thing that they said they were going to fix, that thing that takes forever when you update. And sure enough, it got past the Android logo and went right to the OS. So
I did not even watch that.
Hallelujah.
I started it at the beginning of a meeting and then I came back to an updated phone. And yeah. I have to say, I've been having nothing but problems with the 6P for the last like 3 weeks since mm-hmm. So I haven't been using the beta until the last couple of weeks.
Oh, okay.
Because I was doing a bunch of pre-writing and pre-testing.
Yeah.
And I didn't want to use it because I was afraid that it would ruin my day-to-day life, even though everybody else had said that it would be fine. Well, mm-hmm. unfortunately, it wasn't for me. It was so frustrating.
On the beta?
On the beta.
Okay.
It was so frustrating. I wanted to throw my phone out the car a couple times. It was so bad.
I'm happy you didn't do that.
Me too. Yeah. I've dropped this phone enough. but now it's a lot more smooth sailing.
Yeah, not encountering.
I'm not having the same
issues.
Like Bluetooth issues. Yeah. I'm not having, you know, it's not just like locking up on apps. Like apps aren't crashing as often as they used to.
Good.
You know, the camera app actually works.
Mm-hmm. Okay. No. See, I did not encounter any of that stuff. It's weird how it's one experience for one.
Maybe I just got a bad horse. You know.
Who knows? Yeah, you never really know why or why not.
Yeah.
Main features, let's see, multi-window support, quick switch, multitasking. A lot of these we've already talked about, but you know, if it's officially released, this is what you can look out for. Multi-window, quick switch, which I use all the time, new emoji, Vulkan API for the kind of nice improved graphics capabilities. Daydream VR is built in, but we'll talk a little bit further about this in a second, but we're not really seeing anything with that quite yet. An improved doze mode, which is basically taking the doze that still does work when you set it down and it's inactive on a table, and just putting that to work when the screen is off. Mm-hmm. So it's like all the time improvement, essentially, if your screen is not on. New notification shade design, customizable quick settings, quick reply and direct reply and notification, all sorts of stuff. Bundling of notification, data saver. I know you wrote about data saver a little bit.
I use data saver because, you know, I'm on Big Red and everything costs me an arm and a leg.
And that's per app, so you can set it up and say this mm-hmm. app can
yeah, but
has
I just
full
have
access
it
to
do everything.
Data.
I just everything is data saving
blanket,
and it's amazing because the minute I walk into the house, I realize how many Instagram notifications and things like that I'm missing out on, and I'm glad.
It's kind of nice to not get everything.
No, it
in
is.
Real time.
It really is. I really like it. I'm like, yeah. Just leave me alone for a while.
Right. Let you focus. You get your stuff when you want it on your
yeah.
own terms.
But I will. I did want to add that. Kind of the bummer with every new OS is that the apps that you love to use are not readily compatible with the new
OS. So what
OS.
Are you encountering? What apps? Or are there
A couple of personal apps that I use I've had to uninstall. And I've actually like emailed support and stuff like that to ask them about it. And so they're like, sorry, we're not ready for Android for Nougat yet. So
Nougat.
Like they knew about it. So I kind of appreciated that. But
yeah,
it's kind of a bummer. It is what it is. This happened with Marshmallow, too.
One thing that's interesting here, let me see, I want to make sure that I'm not taking this from somewhere else in the doc, because I think certain things I moved things around a little bit, is this the fact that it's moving to a different update schedule.
Mm-hmm.
So basically what they're doing with Nougat starting now is they're going to have a regular maintenance update schedule. And that's really going
like
to
the
affect.
Security updates.
Yeah,
you can expect them once a month for the most part.
That's really cool.
So now you can expect more consistent software updates, like regular mm-hmm. housekeeping. I love that. It's like having mm-hmm. you know a nice old lady come and clean your phone once in a while, like just give it a little boost.
Jeez.
You know, just come in and dust off the shelves, and oh boy, your figurines are sure getting dusty over here.
Your icons.
Speaking of nice ladies, Cyanogen Mum. Do you remember her?
I remember her, yeah. Well, I haven't called her in a while, but
I'm pretty sure Cyanogen Mod, who's a loosely related person to Cyanogen Mum, mm-hmm. Did rolling OS updates, didn't they?
Well, they had did not look entirely into their news, to be honest, but I do know that they announced the new version. So is that going to be the new version based around Nougat that they announced, essentially?
I think so, but as far as a release of an operating system goes, Google has made it a more regular occurrence,
right,
with more incremental updates, which is exactly what Cyanogen have been doing for the last few years.
I got you. Now I got the thread. Okay. No, you're right. That's a really good point. And actually, that was one of the things that I looked forward to when I was used to ROMing and all that, is knowing that I would always have this update. I mean, after a while, it kind of got a little inconvenient because I just wanted to live life. I didn't want to spend all my time flashing ROM. But it was kind of nice when I was really into it to know that, like, oh, these new updates are going to be folded into this next update. The updates almost always happen every couple of weeks or whatever the frequency is. So now, yeah, that's a really great point, Mateo. Now that's kind of what you're going to see on Nexus devices with Nougat. Of course, that's Nexus devices, and which is not as appealing for devices outside of the Nexus family, and maybe more of a reason to get a Nexus device.
Maybe more of a reason.
Maybe. What do you think, Ron? As the non-Nexus device owner at the table or on the show.
Well, I mean, I'm super jealous. I mean, of course. I mean, I think this is the first rollout that I haven't been there on the front lines with y'all. Yeah, so, I mean, yeah. I'm green with envy. Although, you know, although I do find it funny that the one thing about all the Android OS updates that happened over the years was that apps updating that you mentioned that now isn't happening. Mm-hmm. So after, you know, the last time I upgraded to the latest version of Android, I sat there for an hour and a half waiting for all the apps to optimize. And so I'm looking forward to that happening. But, yeah, no, I mean, it seems all cool. I've been reading all the posts, and I've been, you know, understanding what the changes are and all that stuff that's going to happen. So I'm just kind of ready and waiting, you know. So yeah. Is this probably a good yes. a good segue? Yeah,
go for
exactly.
It.
So I am, as everyone knows, I am on the Nexbit Robin, and they announced that they're going to be rolling out their version of the new version of Nexbit OS that is based on Android N, and it's going to launch in Q4, so towards the end of the year. But like they promised, they teased a few months ago, it is going to they're promising significant, as the headline here says, significant battery life improvements. They haven't gone into any specific, you know, any metrics or anything like that. But they're saying that the new Nexbit OS is going to ensure the most screen time possible by intelligently learning user habits and optimizing functions at the system level. So what we see here is Nexbit adding on their little bit of magic pixie dust to optimize the battery on top of Android N. So I'm excited. They do have a advanced kind of access beta group community that they are setting up. I have signed up. I haven't been approved yet, but hopefully I get approved and I'll be on the front lines of when they're ready to roll this out and get to play with it on the Nexbit Robin and get the best of Android N with whatever Nexbit has in mind. So
boots
I'm excited.
On the ground. Ron's our boots yeah. on the ground.
Try
get in there, and I'm pretty sure that aside from filling out the thing on the site, we can probably send an email and probably get you on that list.
Probably, but I don't, you know, I don't like to do that. I mean, I'm not, yeah. I'm not looking. I'm not a journalist. I'm not Flo. I'm not looking for.
You're
you know,
right,
Ron.
Sort of you are not me.
I do. I'm not. I know. My eyebrows don't look nearly as good, but I like to be like one of the people. Like if I was just yeah. an average person who signed up because I was curious, I want to be, you know, kind of treated that way. So yeah. hopefully we'll see. We'll see if they flag me on my application or not. But yeah. But either way, I'll be anxiously anticipating it, and then probably later this week I'll get a chance to sit down with the Nexus 9 and update that, get off the beta track, and just go pure Android N, and then I'll have some more thoughts by then. So.
Before we move away from Nougat, well, there are other things to talk about related, but before
so
we get
many
off,
things to talk about.
Before we get off the actual official version, I think it is important to show off one key feature that everyone is going to be looking at.
Go on.
So you go into your settings where, aha, I see. Here, let me pull down my brightness a little bit. There, is that better? Okay. I'm getting used to where all the points are in the studio for doing demos. Okay, so you go in here, go to Android version N. Or sorry, version. Why is it not working? Oh yeah, that's right. You got to double tap it. You get your N up there, and then I think it's double tap three times, and then
hold.
Is that right?
Double tap hold.
Okay, so now it turned it off. I had cat mode on, so there is a cat mode. Hold. Now you see the little cat icon down there. That turns
it on. I have
him
in my quick settings. If you wanna,
yeah, I have it. Yes, I can show that off too. So I have a little empty. Oh yeah,
I haven't left him anything yet, but you can leave him a little treat.
You have a little empty dish in your quick
setting.
A
little empty dish, so I'm going to leave him a little donut, and then we'll see over here that we left him a treat.
Uh-huh.
So what
happens here, and I've got an empty dish actually as well, which is, I'm sorry, kittens who might want to wander onto my phone. I should probably give you
Chicken.
Some chicken.
Yeah.
There you go.
Cats love chicken.
Now you get some chicken. Okay, so nothing happens right now, but as you use your phone, the food that you've put out on the plate is a lure for kitty cats to come along.
Android kitty cats.
Android kitty cats to come along and visit, and they take the snack, and then it's like you're collecting them. It's like
Neko Atsume.
Neko Atsume, one of Flo's apps in the arena that I believe won. That did it win? I think maybe it did.
It did not win.
Oh, it should have.
I don't think it won.
It should have, because apparently Google thinks it's awesome enough to implement into the OS at the OS level. So
apparently you can collect like hundreds of different cats.
Well, yeah, they come along, it's like it's added to this cat list.
But you never know when they're going to come. Like, it could be hours until we see something.
So we'll see. Sometime during the show, we'll show
you.
Yeah,
hopefully, and then we'll interrupt everything that's going on.
This is important stuff.
Tell you.
All right, Ron, you got
to catch them all.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. It's always so.
So as everybody's devouring their nougat with the new version, there's a whole bunch of stuff that we've talked about that's mm-hmm. not there.
Mm-hmm.
Some random, not random, but some leaks and some, you know, things like that that didn't show up in the final version. So, you know, we're missing features like the assistant or the new Nexus mm-hmm. nav bar that we saw a couple weeks ago, or Nexus launcher. Mm-hmm. So apparently all of those are tied to an upcoming release of the new HTC Nexus devices that are expected sometime in late September or early October. And those leaks that we've seen apparently come from a different version, Android N MR1 of Nougat, than what was released this week. And so apparently also Assistant and Allo will require a new API, so therefore probably a new version of Android. Maybe this is 7.1 on the horizon. So,
how do you guys feel about this? This kind of is giving me a little the heebie-jeebies.
Why?
Because I just feel like with Android attempting to solve fragmentation to some point, that having this second, like, supercharged version of Nougat is just going to become more confusing. It's, you know, I thought we were kind of past this. I know Jelly Bean did this. Like, it split itself in two. Which was kind
but
of.
But is this purely the fact that this stuff isn't ready? Like, they were on a schedule?
That's what I'm thinking. It's just not ready, and that's why. But I fear the fact that, you know, now we're going to have another software update between Marshmallow and MR1.
Well, that's a really good point, right? Like, if, when they first showed off, you know, these features, at least at Google I.O., but as we've kind of known about, you know, Android N and Nougat over time, there are certain features, like Allo is a prime example.
Yeah, right.
That you just kind of assumed were part of the next version. So if all of the OEMs hop on the 7.0 train, and yet there's a 7.1 update that actually enables the API that allows for something like Allo or Assistant happening on the back end, that some of these promised features that are tied to Nougat aren't actually tied to Nougat. They're tied to the latest version of Nougat, which isn't the version that everybody hopped on the train for to begin with. That's a really good point.
So what was, like, that's what I'm trying to think. What was the point of this Nougat beta run if this is not the final version?
Yeah. What do you think, Mateo?
Well, again, I think it goes back to this idea of incremental operating system updates. It's going to be something that they will release gradually. There might maybe other features released further down the line, which will enable other services. So I think that this is good for obviously Nexus users and the OEMs or ODMs who have prepared themselves for this shift in ways of releasing operating systems. So if an OEM, ODM has set themselves up properly, they should be able to handle this gracefully. Again, this is something we've seen OEMs and ODMs have never really mastered, but some of them have improved.
Yeah. Right.
Some of them have improved over the years, whilst others have done the opposite, where they seem to have regressed. Without naming names, we know that some of the OEMs have not committed to the monthly security updates. And had they set themselves up to do so, this change in releases of OSs would have been easier for them. So, and it's not like Google hadn't pre-warned us at Google I.O.
Well, yeah, and I mean, Sundar Pichai has even said, like, we, you know, in an interview a couple of months ago, said, like, we see Nexus devices having certain abilities beyond you know, like having special, I can't remember exactly how he phrased it, but it was something along those lines, having certain special capabilities beyond what everybody else has access to, which kind of hints at the fact that Google is kind of buckling down a little bit more about taking their Nexus devices and making them special, making them have some sort of extra special sauce, like these incremental regular updates. Does Google care if the other, like maybe Google just doesn't care about the concern that other OEMs, you know, are either good or not good about updates. Maybe at this point it's just like, yeah, okay, well, they're going to do what they're going to do. We're going to do it right.
I think that's the approach now. I think you hit the nail on the head in that particular.
So Google are in a way setting an example. They're saying this is how to do it. This is how we recommend doing it. If you want to do things and keep your customers happy, this is.
But
how
I also
to do it.
But I also yeah. feel like a big OEM like Samsung is not going to care about this. They have so much money for their own R&D and their own software development. Like, it really doesn't matter. They can offer their own special things, and that's what they're going to continue doing on the mm-hmm. Galaxy devices. And I think Google's going to try and do that as well and say, you know what? We got some special sauce on the Nexus devices too. It's not just Samsung.
Right.
It's not just our partners. Mm-hmm. You know? We have stuff for you too here.
And time again, we talk about like, does the average user care about security or, you know, care about updates? Do they care about these things? We care about them because we know the difference between what it is to have them versus
but
what it isn't.
But I care if my parents have accessibility sure. to Duo and Allo well, because I want to be able to use that with them.
That was the point I was just going to make. Like it's one thing to have a special nav bar for Nexus mm-hmm, devices, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. you know, that's a special color. But if you're trying to build the next chapter yep. in Google's ongoing saga of messaging apps with yep. Allo, it's got to work for everybody.
Yeah.
And if it requires a new API that needs a point release on the latest OS, mm-hmm. and that point release is only going to roll out to a subset of phones, you're going to shoot Allo in the foot.
I mean, this also is a leak, so it's very possible that the API could be rolled into Google Play services.
It's very possible we're just completely wrong and ranting for nothing.
Yeah, this could all not be indeed. Accurate at all.
But. Then again, Google may be having this API for Allo just to give further optimizations. Allo should be available on iOS, Android, and older versions
yeah,
of Android.
Right. Yep.
But it will have certain optimizations within Android 7.1 or whatever it will be called.
Right.
I'll be really curious to hear what this new API that they're developing in this rumored 7.1 and what it includes and what that will do for Allo that it's not doing, like you, Mateo, like your point, older Android phones or iOS or on the web. So mm-hmm. That should be really interesting. Before we move on, though, just one other quick thing. Google also did confirm that surprising nobody, that the LG V10 will be the first device to ship with Nuga.
V20.
V20. Yeah, sorry. I read the typo. I'm not wearing any pants. that's going to be shipping. And that's going to be shipping. No, it's my mistake, Jason. the pants was on me. Anyway, but so it's going to ship early next month. So beating the Nexus devices to the punch, LG will be there with the V20 running Nougat. And it should be interesting to see how that affects, if it's a selling point or if they just roll it out like another phone. So,
and that phone release will be, that phone launch announcement will be September 6th, the day after Labor Day. I'm not sure if LG's live streaming it or not, but I know that they're making a somewhat bigger deal out of this than their normal deals that they make.
I mean, that's kind of a big deal for them to have that.
Yes.
Have that, to carry that torch, you know
precisely,
what I mean?
Precisely.
So that probably means sometime soon after that we will hear about the Nexus devices.
Yeah. And speaking of deals, Google's also striking some deals with YouTube Stars and Hulu to bring more content to virtual reality, which is exciting because apparently that's the shift where everybody's going. We're all going to the VR sphere, right?
That's what they want you to think anyways.
That's what they want you to think. Well, they want to sell you on it. So the best way to sell you on it is by funding the creation of gaming and video content for virtual reality. It will likely be timed with the upcoming Nexus device launch, the one that should be coming from HTC, along with Daydream VR headsets and controllers built to Google's reference design spec, which was what we saw at Google I.O.
Right.
Recruitment will include promoting projects from Hulu and also funding production of 360-degree content starting
The Dolan
YouTube
twins.
Stars, like,
do
Dolan
you know
twins
the Dolan
and Justin
twins?
Ezerick. I actually have no idea whose name's Justine.
Justine.
Yeah,
I Justine.
Yeah. Couldn't just write I Justine on here for me. I'm just kidding. I'm sorry. I should not complain.
We should give him a
Listen,
break. Give him
Jason
a break.
does the doc every day, and I will never complain about the fact that he does it, and I apologize. That was all for joking.
It's okay.
I just want you to know.
It's okay.
I extremely appreciate
it's
you.
It's been a really difficult week.
I'm so sorry. I realize it's not a good, well-timed joke, not
it's
a well-timed
good.
Burn. Anyway, they're going to be spending up to the upper six figures for some of the games and low five figures for full makers and the YouTube talent, as they are called. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm hoping to see some of my favorite makeup gals in VR. I would love to see how they, you know, contour and use a, you know,
but
beauty balm.
All the beauty balming that they're doing is right there. It isn't around there.
Yes, but you can't see like what they're doing with the, you know, with the brush on the side. You know,
want to be able to go around.
You know,
the
what
head.
Does their jawline really look like when
story.
They contour
that would
under there?
Be
like,
cool.
What's really happening? Because I just feel like when you look straight on, it's just lies.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to this just to see what they come up with. I don't know how. I mean, is this
going... is for the millennials? It's for the mills,
is it?
Guys.
Is
this
it?
Is totally for the mills.
Okay,
yeah, this is for the
see,
mills.
I'm very excited about VR. Like I like and am positive about the things that.
But
are
you're
happening
an adult.
I am. I'm an old.
You're
as
an
the
old.
Millennials say.
We have to get the mills on board with this because the mills is where the money's at. That's where the advertising dollars are these days. So
this is gonna move phones. Do you think?
I mean. The mills ask their parents for iPhones for Christmas every year.
Are they
going to
ask for Nexus devices because they pack Daydream for VR?
They got to make it hip and cool.
Yeah.
I love to see how tech companies try to make everything hip and cool for the mills. It's awesome. I love it. But, yes, Mateo. Sorry.
So is there going to be a musical Les Millennials?
What?
Huh?
I feel like there's...
Language barrier.
Well, a millennials version of Les Miserables.
I don't even know how you say this, but I want it as a title.
Les Millennials.
There we go. I like that. Possibly.
It'd be a good YouTube show.
I'm really surprised.
Ron could learn a lot from it.
Les Millennials.
Yeah, probably.
Les Millennials. All right, we've got lots of hardware to talk about.
Yes, we do.
And I don't know if we even have enough time to talk about it, but we're going to figure
it
out somehow.
We're going to try it. Ham-fist it.
Before we do that, let's get hungry together.
Oh,
all of
God.
Us gather around the Blue Apron box. We'll unbox the Blue Apron food and get hungry together.
I'm so hungry right now.
Yeah, my stomach is growling. Blue Apron's mission is to make incredible home cooking accessible to everyone. Also, to support sustainable food, essentially, the food system, setting high standards for ingredients, building a community of home chefs, making you a better cook, basically. Blue Apron delivers seasonal recipes along with fresh, high-quality ingredients to make delicious home-cooked meals. Every meal comes with a step-by-step, easy-to-follow recipe card, pre-portioned ingredients, so you know exactly what to use and when. That can be prepared in 40 minutes or less. So you're going to save time. You're going to save money. You're not going to be shopping at the grocery store. That's actually 60% more that you're going to spend at the grocery store, more expensive than Blue Apron. If you spend a lot of time eating out at high-end grocery chains, you know how expensive it can get. You can now spend under $10 per person for healthy, home-cooked meals. They customize your recipes every week based on your own dietary preferences. You can choose a delivery option that fits your needs. There's no weekly commitment, so you only get deliveries when you actually want them. Blue Apron delivers to 99% of the continental U.S. Blue Apron sets the highest quality standards for their community of over 150 local farms, fisheries, and ranchers across the U.S. Seafood sourced sustainably, beef's raised humanely, chickens are free range, pork is raised naturally, and regenerative farming practices are used for produce. And by the way, they're shipping the exact amount that's required for the recipe, which is not only convenient, it actually reduces food waste. Whether it's Japanese ramen noodles, wild-caught Alaskan salmon, or heirloom tomatoes, Blue Apron brings you nothing but the best. Blue Apron not only supports a more sustainable food system, it supports happy and healthy families. Cooking together builds strong family bonds. Research shows that Blue Apron families cook nearly three times more often. New recipes are created every week by Blue Apron's culinary team. They're not repeated within a year. Spiced pork burgers with goat cheese and cucumber corn salad. Here it comes, Florence. Summer vegetable. I know this
my
is
mouth
like,
is literally this is watering kicker. Right now.
When you get to this part of the Blue Apron read, this is where it goes down. Summer vegetable and quinoa bowl with fairy tale eggplant, shishito peppers, and corn. This one's a lot of fun to say. Chicken tinga tacos with summer squash and tomato salsa. Oh, yeah. Check out this week's menu. Get your first three meals free with free shipping by going to blueapron.com/twit. You're going to love how it feels and love how it tastes to create incredible home-cooked meals with Blue Apron. So do not wait. Visit blueapron.com/twit. We thank Blue Apron for their support of All About Android. And now we've got another hour before we get to eat. That's all I'm going to say about that.
Have you considered narrating books about food, by the way? Because you're very good at it.
I haven't.
You're making everybody salivate right now, both online and in this room.
What can I say? Chicken tinga tacos is a lot of fun to say. What's up, Mateo?
Jason, you had me at goat's cheese.
Of course we did.
I'm starting to get it now.
Of course we did.
There it is.
For some reason, it just works itself into the show time after time. All right, on to hardware. All right, Flo, you've got a couple of very interesting devices.
I have a very shiny device right here in my hand right now. Is the Galaxy Note 7.
So before you go into this, Flo, last week, you were not on the show, and we talked about your review. And from what I read and from the video I watched, it seemed that you love this phone. Wow. I'm impressed.
Of course, you're a Samsung fangirl.
Oh, bro.
True, exactly. I wasn't even going to go there.
It's okay. I did this time. I don't know why I did it.
Well, I just unlocked this phone with my Iris.
So how is that working out for you?
I'm just like, I don't use it a lot, actually.
Yeah.
Because a lot of the times I'm using. A lot of the times I'm using the phone and I'm like sitting in bed and the phone is like on my lap. Yeah. So I'm not going to be, I'm just doing pattern unlock. And also if I'm, if I'm using the phone in the car and I'm kind of a silly girl and I haven't set up a smart lock completely, then I still have to enter in the pattern. But look, it did it. I just looked at it briefly and
it did it.
Did you see that real quick?
The pattern. It just kind of flashed right on.
Yeah, I just did that real quick.
So it doesn't have to pull up that that visual like that.
No, that's only if it's just having trouble reading you and hey, you need to look at the screen the right way.
So it's kind of like how Face Unlock implemented into Smart Unlock on Android where it would just kind of do it and you didn't know that it did.
And it works in the dark and in the light.
Nice.
Some, Samsung says it's not going to really work if you have contacts or glasses in. But you know what? I had purple glasses on. Oh, gosh. Those of you watching on the video, this is very smudgy.
I just
picked this up, by the way. I cleaned this before the show started.
I just feel like fingerprints are a sign of the times when it comes to smartphones right now.
This is very unfortunate because this is disgusting.
Yeah, we just cleaned
but
it.
But you know what?
This is the way it goes.
Phones are this disgusting. You just don't see it because of the material they're made of. But this is just a reminder to carry alcohol wipes with you at all times.
Good point.
But anyway.
At all times.
But the iris scanner did work when I was wearing my purple aviator sunglasses. It worked just fine.
Oh, wow.
So I don't know. I think it depends on your prescription. If you're super, needing to have glasses that, zoom in on things. I'm trying to
big eyes,
that subject very
carefully.
Make your eyes big
because of the prescription.
Yes. Yeah. But otherwise, the Galaxy Note 7 is essentially the same thing as the Galaxy S7. I mean, it has a Snapdragon A20 processor, 4 GB of RAM, blah, 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 gigabytes. It is fast. It is speedy. It is one of the most symmetrical. I mean, all phones are symmetrical, but there's just something about this phone in particular. It just feels so very well balanced, just the way everything is curved. It's a really pretty phone in person. And unfortunately, Samsung didn't send me the pretty blue coral with the gold trimming that I saw they sent some other reviewers on the internet. But the black one is just as pretty, and I think this is the one that you'll find most often if you're buying this through the carrier and you want it subsidized. You will want to buy it subsidized. because this is a very expensive phone.
Well, it is expensive. I mean, you will, unless the thing that you absolutely can't stand is like carrier bloat and all that kind of stuff.
So this is a T-Mobile phone, and it does have quite a bit of things. It's got Lookout, which I absolutely abhor.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Great company, but I'm just not a fan of having this kind of app on an Android device. I just think it's ridiculous. And, you know, a couple of the T-Mobile things, like the device. I don't even know.
Yeah, device unlock to unlock the SIM. So. And a few others, yeah.
You know, these things. Sling TV. App drawer, just kind of there. And, of course, the big change to the Samsung UI. And, actually, I have to apologize, but the name has completely escaped me of what they call the new UI. I know it's in a couple of reviews out there. Unfortunately, I didn't mention it. Because I did not do my due diligence in that department before publishing. But
Grace.
Regardless, Grace UI. There we go. So here's the Grace UI that's gracing the new TouchWiz. It's a lot. The notification shade is a lot simpler, which is nice. And now I'm going to show you the settings panel, which is completely barren. I mean, this is the most barren settings panel I've ever seen on a Samsung device. Look at that. The problem with this, though, it's actually kind of hard to navigate. Like, I like it because it's simple, but I'm just not used to it. You know, my visual memory is not used to seeing this sort of thing. But of course, if you can't find what you're looking for, just search for it, which is great. LOL, my most used right there. Let's see. Of course, it's got the wonderful 12 megapixel camera on the back with dual pixel technology. Fantastic. So great. The camera app actually has a slightly... Hello, it's me. Has a slightly changed UI. I will show you guys about that in a second. Has a slightly changed UI. It's a lot simpler. So all you have to do is swipe over to pick from your mode and then swipe to the side to pick from filters.
Oh, okay.
I actually like the filters. And the filters are taken from other like third-party apps. You'll see the little icon, which I think is supposed to be like a little advertisement. Like, hey, download Candy Cam if you want this filter. But... whatever, it's built in.
Oh, okay.
And you guys, it passes for Instagram, seriously. I mean, Instagram filters are not that special. Just saying. You still have the intense beautifying mode for, you know, skin tone and all that. And...
beauty photo or, you know, whatever it's called. Beauty
photo.
Beauty
yes,
mode.
Yes, which makes you look like an alien if you use it too much.
Pretty much.
Samsung Notes. So this is part of the S Pen compatibility. Samsung Notes has been pared down. Now when you hit the action command, there you go, you're going to see just a couple of shortcuts. It's no longer like this long list of here are a bunch of things that you can do. But you'll still have access to create a quick note in S Notes. So the app is now called the Samsung Notes app, they've consolidated everything into one app. So you don't have like a separate sticky notes app like you used to have, or anything like that. Everything is easily picked up from the S Note Air Command screen. You can add your own shortcuts if you like. Very easy to do. There's also a translate feature, which works just by sort of hovering over the screen. I still like Google Translate. I'm still kind of figuring out what the glance feature does. It's just kind of there so I can fill out the space. And of course, my favorite is Smart Select, which you can use to make your animated GIFs from YouTube videos and any non-DRM video that you have. So you can make GIFs from your own videos if you like. Just fun.
Glance is there to take a peek into an app by hovering the S Pen over an app.
It
icon.
Is, but I'm trying to find like the usefulness for
it. Oh, I see.
I'm not really in my life, and I haven't really found a place for it in my life.
Got it. Cool. I can't wait to get
mine. And the pressure sensitivity, by the way, on this S Pen, it's twice as pressure sensitive, and it's very obvious. Let me create a note and show you if I possibly can. I believe the airbrush is the best way to do this. So I'm going to use the airbrush, real watercolor brush, oil brush, calligraphy brush, pencil. What is this? Crayon? Airbrush. Yeah, so just kind of soft and very hard. It gets a lot. And this color is really hard to see. So here it is, really soft. And there it is. I'm pressing really hard right now.
Oh, yeah, I see.
I'm pressing really hard.
Yeah, well, they said it was like twice as many
I'm it actually so in the beginning I was like, whatever, you guys, that's great, it's twice, okay, fine, I'll mention it. But after using it, I actually can sense the pressure sensitivity. Unfortunately, cool. You can't use the S Pen to play Pokemon the card game online.
Of course that would be an issue for you. Because you play that you can't play that game a lot.
I play the game every single night. Yeah. It's what I play before bed while cool. I'm watching the news.
So the Coral Blue is the one to get?
The Coral Blue is I don't know when they're releasing that.
I don't know. I ordered it and it's on back order, so
yeah. It's going to be, it's a sort of special edition thing. Also, let's not forget this Cure folder, which is part of like the Samsung Knox.
You can't.
So yeah, that we had questions about that. So is the secure folder just, is it apps or is it files or like what's in the secure folder?
We know what's in your secure folder.
Oh, now we know.
So it's a separate Instagram account right here. So when you launch it, it'll be a separate Instagram account. See, it's not set up.
That's cool.
Interesting.
I would normally put my now defunct yoga account in there. A separate instance of Samsung Notes and My Files, Contacts, the gallery, the pictures that you take with this phone, with this mode on, they'll only show up in the secure folder. And of course, you can only unlock them. Well, you can unlock them with your iris or passcode, which is different from the PIN unlock or the passcode that you use to unlock your phone. So nobody who can unlock your phone will be able to unlock the secure folder.
Do they see the secure folder on there if
yes.
They do?
Oh, I haven't used the guest mode, actually. I haven't tried that.
Have Jason try to open the secure folder.
Well, probably.
You can't. Yeah, it won't let you.
Right. Well, let's try it. Well,
he wants to see the iris scanning.
There, yeah.
Yeah.
I am not going to insert the pen wrong, by the way.
Let me in because you already unlocked it, right?
So
So let's go ahead and... Turn off, turn on. I don't know how to get into your phone. Oh, you're irising it. She was irising it. Okay, so now you unlocked it with your iris, but that's not going to be enough to give you access.
Open it.
Okay.
I love the live test.
Hi. Oh man, everybody looks like aliens in this.
I know,
look at the little flashing light.
Yeah, there's the infrared.
Hold device closer. Failed to recognize irises.
Cool.
So it should give you a backup password next.
Well, it says enter password.
Enter password.
I was thinking a good way to implement that would be like only show the secure folder on the desktop if you unlock with your iris. And then if you don't, if you unlock
you
any
should pitch
other way,
that to Samsung. Like, Samsung, if you're listening, it. Jason actually has a pretty good idea.
Don't even show it. cool stuff. So I can't wait to
have it. Sorry, just a quick Mateo? Question. Float. Have you managed to play Pokemon Go nonstop on the battery, and how long did it last in that scenario?
I am not playing Pokemon Go on this. I am playing Pokemon the card game, which, by the way, is a tablet app, but I just load the APK because I'm...
You're a rebel.
That's who I am.
What you are.
That's who I am. Well, and also I kind of want to see like if the phones can handle it. I've noticed phones that aren't really good at graphics will get really, really hot trying to process the game. This phone is fine, of course. This phone is totally fine with it. But the battery life is pretty good with Pokemon TCGO. And actually just using the phone, because I've been using it for everything. My Nexus is only with me because it has my phone number on it.
Right.
That's it. I've been using this for everything.
Cool.
It's amazing. God, I love the camera on this. The Samsung phones are worth it just for the camera, I have to say, guys. I'm not sure I can, like, it's just such a good camera. Like, the manual mode is better now, too. You could, like, put it on a tripod and actually, like, take some cool shots. You know, I'm going to take some when I get home tonight.
Just because. So how's the camera on the Honor 8?
So the Honor 8.
The Huawei Honor 8.
So this is why I was gone last week, y'all, because I was...
Huawei Honor.
I was at the launch event for the Honor 8. Boop.
Hands on with the Huawei Honor 8.
There's a gas leak in Novato, California, and a wildfire.
Jeez,
that's the end of the world.
That is recipe for disaster,
gosh,
right there.
Google. Jeez, Louise. Anyway, seriously, jeez, Louise. Anyway, the camera on this thing is actually pretty good. Let's see. I hope I didn't take any like weird. You never know.
Awesome.
You never know.
I'm not going to enable location services. Yeah. It looks like I've only taken a picture of whatever this is. Oh, this is here at the Twit Studios. It's the carpet.
That is an amazing picture of the carpet.
Nice.
Here's what 15 layers of glass looks like. Or so whatever, however many layers of this is. Yeah.
That is cool looking.
It's very blue in person. I'm having a hard time showing it to you on camera, but yeah. it's a beautiful blue. You'll see here on the back that we have the dual 12 megapixel cameras. These are dual Sony sensors right here, and they are actually pretty good at shooting photos. So let's just
One camera is RGB, one camera is monochrome for more like contrast and stuff.
One camera captures all the details, the other one captures all of the color and sort of helps like regulate that together. It sounds gimmicky,
but it's a trend. It's totally a trend.
It's a trend. It works, but I still kind of feel like it's just there as a
look,
guys. We have
two
lenses instead of one. But that's fine because it works. Okay, fine. I'll give. Yes, I'm touching to activate. My problem with the Honor 8 is not the hardware, guys. The hardware is pretty dang good. I've been playing games on this. I've been using it as sort of like a social media phone, and it's been pretty good. It's Snapchat and the like. My problem is the interface. This is the first step in the problems, which is look at this long.
So
I don't know,
settings?
Guys. This is the camera modes.
Oh, that's camera.
Okay, so
oh,
we have
yeah.
Photo, let's pro photo, it. Beauty video, pro video, beauty video, good food, panorama, HDR, night shot, light painting. Light painting is actually cool. We can actually do this right now if Jason wants to.
What is it?
We're gonna paint with light. So here, I'm gonna turn on my flashlight.
Like.
Yeah. So here's my flashlights on my phone.
Okay. Oh, really?
Yeah,
oh,
so we're going to do light graffiti. We're going to do light graffiti right now.
I'm down. Let's do this.
And we're going to do this without flash. All right. So,
okay, so do I just go?
So hold the flashlight toward me and then just draw with it. So I'm going to, okay, here we go. There we go.
Did do it?
Wait, keep going.
Oh, just get out of that.
Okay. All right. We're good.
Do you need to make those noises when doing that?
Anyway, this is what came out.
Oh, okay. So that's a little abstract.
You can actually. This is very hard to show on camera.
Yeah, I think it seems to be a little.
But of course, the shortcuts are behind another screen, which is also very like frustrating. Sorry.
Okay. There we go.
So that's
so
kind
you
of,
can
kind of
see the where you yeah. can go with this. If you were to go out like on the street at night. And record like cars.
You can do some really
cool
stuff.
You can
with
do
this.
Some really
oh,
cool like
wait,
light
so when you
stuff.
Do the light painting, y'all, when you do light painting, it gives you options for. Gives you options for different kind of light painting. So we have silky water, which captures the flow of moving water in a silky smooth effect. Tail lights, which capture the trails of light made, like graffiti and Star Trek, so you can capture stars. So that's kind of cool. And because this is a phone made for the mills. That is the millennials.
And they pointed that out. You're not just saying that. That was part
of... Oh my God, they beat it into our heads.
Yeah, that was
They
that
beat
was
it into our heads.
Messaging.
We get it. Then little Brooklyn Beckham came out on stage, you know, 17-year-old love child of Victoria Beckham, a.k.a. Posh Spice, and David Beckham. And he comes out and he's just like, yeah, I use the Honor 8. And I'm like, but do you really?
I do today.
He was a cutie patootie. I'll give him that. That's it.
I have
what
a
I picked up from
quick thing.
Yes, Mateo.
So I have a Huawei P9 which has the same lights painting function.
Yes.
And I've just dropped in to my very millennial Instagram link in the rundown chat.
Very
so if you want to show
Instagram.
Off a picture, it's the same sensors. It's the same hardware.
Oh, that looks really neat.
Oh, cool. Okay. So you did exactly what I was talking about. Right there, you go.
That's wow, very much cool. Exposure, such light. True that.
That looks nice.
Yeah, so that was London a couple of weeks ago. That was a light painting picture with a tripod. It was a 25-second exposure.
Yeah, you need a tripod for something like that. So a question about this. So the Huawei P9 and this are actually very similar, right? The Huawei P9 more like the international version of this. This more the U.S. version. The Huawei P9 had the Leica camera aspect to all of its marketing and everything. Is the Leica camera in here? Because they're not teasing that.
No.
So that there is a difference, at least to some degree, between the camera hardware.
Yes, but this is essentially a remarketed P9 for the U.S. market.
Okay.
And
but some different internals.
Yeah. And of course, one more overhead shot just to show you what it looks like when there's no app launcher.
So you've got all
this
your
is a bummer.
No app draw?
No app draw. So, and by the way, because Honor has partners, you're going to have apps on here that you got to use.
Yeah. But you're getting, this is $400,
right? You can uninstall it. Yay!
There you go. Awesome.
See, that's what you do. I'm okay with a pre-install as long as you can remove it. You know, like it's the ones that are on there whether you want them or not that I hate. So Verizon.
Yeah. So I know, right? Yeah. You know, I have some feelings about the Honor phone launch. I was actually talking about this with my really good friend this past weekend. We were just sort of talking about like what Honor is trying to do in the U.S. and I'm just a little worried because this phone can only be bought through e-commerce, and I just don't feel like the American market is really at the point where we're, you know, buying our phones online en masse. We're buying them through our carriers because that's where you get the subsidized price.
Yeah.
And this phone is $399. There's a lot of other phones that are $399. The one that comes to mind is the OnePlus 3, which definitely comes with a little more oomph than the Honor 8. Okay. And then, of course, I also think about, you know, this phone, the Note 7, is that you're going to buy this through your carrier. You're getting one of the best phones on the market right now at a subsidized price. Mm-hmm. And why would you buy this phone for $400 unlocked when you can buy this phone for $400 from your carrier with $800 worth of choice. Parts?
To have choice.
No, absolutely. I agree with you. It's great to have it. But I'm just saying from like a marketing perspective, to have Honor 8 like really come in and to have Honor come in and really like make a splash as a brand, it needs to do a little bit more than repeat the marketing efforts it's doing overseas in China. Because it's a very different market here. And I see like what they're trying to go for. And this phone is really nice. Like, I would love to tell people to go buy this phone. I just don't really.
So why don't you? I mean, yeah, I mean, that's
because
the thing.
There's
I mean,
better, like, because you can get a better deal for $399.
I guess. I guess that. I mean, at least the way I look at it is $399 is really the ceiling of the unlocked phone for me, at least. Like when I look at phones that are in the Note 7, you know, kind of price range, you know, anything, you know, high, you know, in the $699, $799, stuff like that, it's insane without a subsidized.
No, it's true.
Yeah, I mean, you can't. I mean, I'm suppose there are some people who can't afford it. I know I can't afford it. I wouldn't afford it. So you got to go the subsidized route for those kind of phones. But I think for $399 and below, then it becomes someone like me who I do not want to, you know, even though I've been with T-Mobile since 2007, I have no plans of leaving. If I want to, I can. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter. And that's a real, I mean, and every phone I bought since I think like 2009 or so has been unlocked for that reason. So, I mean, I don't know. I get what you're saying, that you can get, and especially if you're targeting millennials or younger folk who may or may not, you know, who may not have as much money, you know, assuming mommy or daddy aren't paying for it. You know, you're making the choice of what you want, whether you want to be locked into a carrier or not. And when you want a phone, nothing is worse than I want this phone and I can't have it. That's the worst. And so, honestly, I think $399 is a little affordable. And I get what you're saying, that you can get a better deal somewhere else. But I guess it just changes what your priorities are.
No, you're right. You're right. And by $399, I mean just that there are other unlocked Android phones.
Sure.
You know, again, you're not going to be able to find a Note 7 $400 anywhere. But, you know, I'm just thinking about, you know, if you have the choice and it comes to, like, you have to really think about what do you want to spend your $400 on, you know?
Well, it's not like the Honor 8 is alone in the $400 price category. I couldn't remember, actually, if we've shown off the ZTE Axon 7 on the show. Did you get this? Did you play around with this?
I have not.
So here we go. ZTE's Axon 7. As you can see, unibody, aluminum design. This is also a $400 device. And I gotta say, I'm pretty darn impressed by it. I've been really enjoying it. It's got the 5.5-inch quad HD display. Actually, a really nice display, especially for this price. Snapdragon 820 processor, 4 gigs of RAM, 3,250 milliamp hour battery. I've had some really solid battery life with this. Also has USB-C underneath down here. Ooh. Is the charging with quick charge 3.0. Ooh. So it charges up super fast. Dual front-facing speakers, because I don't have a stereo in my car right now. I use those all the time, and they are loud. They don't distort. It actually sounds really good. There's Dolby Atmos sound improvements under the hood here. Has a micro SD card slot, though the asterisk there is that it's not adaptable storage capable.
So it's pretty much flat media storage. You can't use it to move your apps over there, for example.
And just
give yourself a ton of storage inside the phone. Dual SIM capable, 20 megapixel rear facing camera, which I'll be honest, I haven't really played around with the camera a whole lot since I've been using it, but a little bit and not enough to judge it. I don't know why. I just haven't been taking very many pictures this past week. And phase detect autofocus, optical image stabilization there. But yeah, I'm actually really liking it. It feels super tight. Like, it doesn't feel inexpensive.
I thought you were using an HTC One M7.
I was just about to say, that looks very HTC.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is okay. I mean, I like that design.
It's making me miss the M7, y'all.
Back to the M7. That's what you... Yeah, this is this is very different.
We should do that for a week, by the way. Use old phones, see how we for a week, and each of us use one model and see how.
I want to revert my Motorola Droid to the very first version that it shipped with, and use that for a week.
We should, yeah.
downsides on the ZTE Axon 7. Yes. These navigation buttons right here, little nondescript. They follow the correct order, and that this is back and this is multitasking. But you kind of get a little confused sometimes when using it.
You have to remember,
and they're not backlit. So if you're in darkness, you are always guessing.
It's not backlit.
No.
Come on.
So you're in darkness, you just can't see them, and that results in tapping the wrong button. Minor annoyance. They're also very close together, so it makes it easy for you to hit the wrong one. Fingerprint rejection, I've found, and I've relearned my fingerprints multiple times, yet it's still, like, in order to unlock, I'm, like, too... Okay, so I got it on the second one. But so many times, like, I'm hitting it, like, three or four times in order to get it on, and that just happens almost all the time.
You use your left hand to unlock it?
Well, I have both of them.
I was just curious. Ambidextrous.
Yeah. Of course, now that I'm showing it off, it's working. But in real-life scenario, that happens. And then on the not lock screen, well, I don't have any notifications, but you never get your notifications by default. You get this little bell with a little number on it, and you have to tap to show you all of your notifications. But overall, like, those are few and far between as far as the kind of cons of the ZTE Axon 7. Pretty great.
Now, are they also selling? They're also selling this unlocked, right?
Yeah.
Have they said which carriers will work with it?
I've got it on T-Mobile, Sprint.
Right.
I don't believe it's working. No, it's not working on Verizon, and I'm not sure if it works on AT&T. But I know it's not with Verizon here in the U.S. So.
No.
But there you go. I have enjoyed my time on it. It's been, except for the fact that, and I think it's just this studio more than it is this phone, but T-Mobile in this new studio is... horrible.
Yeah, and guess who has 4 out of 5 bars in this new studio?
That's a problem. My one complaint about T-Mobile as being a long time, going back to what I was saying as a T-Mobile user, is that I see larger problems inside. Like when I go in a club or when I go in a structure, for some reason their network never can penetrate where Verizon does. And I don't know how or why that's the case.
Gnomes. So, there's little Verizon gnomes. Planted by Big Red in the studio right now that are beaming me service.
Well, yeah, what you don't know is that when you sign up for Verizon, invisible gnomes follow you around
everywhere
you go.
Everywhere for the
go.
Rest
it's
of your
of
life.
Like a rain
you have
cloud.
Absolutely no privacy. You give up your life for all this service. So, but I'm here to tell the tale.
There you go. And then finally, Mateo, this is a long hardware section.
I know.
But we've taken a look at four pretty awesome devices here.
There's a lot of darn phones that came out recently.
I know. The Xiaomi Mi Max. What's the story here?
So this is one of Xiaomi's latest devices that was released earlier, I think at the end of July, beginning of August. I didn't purchase this device specifically with the idea of reviewing it. The reason I purchased this was because I needed a device with a big battery, big screen, which would do me for IFA, which happens in a week and a bit in Berlin. So I needed a workhorse, and I heard very, very good things about the battery life. So the Xiaomi Mi Max is a device which, in my view, is the spiritual successor to the Google Play Edition Sony Xperia Z Ultra. Do you remember that one?
Yes. I loved that phone, by the way, even though it was huge.
I did too, and I had been using it until recently. So the Xiaomi Mi Max is a 6.4-inch Android device. It is dual SIM or single SIM with a microSD expansion slot. It has a fingerprint reader on the back, 16 megapixel camera. The 6.4-inch screen is it's a full HD one, so 1920 by 1080 resolution. And it runs Xiaomi's MIUI version of Android.
Is that how you pronounce it? MIUI?
MIUI. Yeah, is MIUI.
Yeah, MIUI is the one that I always MIUI. Opt for. Yeah. I don't know why. Yeah. Well, do because
we have,
me.
Do we have a Hugo Barra to tell us how to pronounce
don't.
It?
Probably need one of those. But yeah, we don't.
Well, with the growth of Xiaomi, we might need that at some for point. Sure. But so this device comes in various SKUs, stock keeping units. The entry level, which is the one I got, has 16 gigabytes of storage, 2 gigabytes of RAM, and the Snapdragon 650 hexa-core processor. Hexa-core means it has 6 cores, 2 slightly bigger, more powerful A72 cores, and then 4 A53 cores. There is also a variant with more storage, more RAM, which is an octa-core Snapdragon 652. But for the fact that I'm purely going to be using it for email, web browsing, occasionally Google Maps navigation, I don't need a super powerful version. If anything, the lower-end one should be more power-efficient because it doesn't need to burn as much power to keep everything running. So I got this. MIUI is not my personal flavor of Android, so I've installed Chris Lacy's excellent Action Launcher 3. I've installed Google Play services, which weren't pre-installed on the device when I got it, because there's a great import from China.
Yeah.
Right.
But apart from all the misgivings in terms of software and the fact that it's not readily available here, I really love it. I think this is going to replace my Sony Xperia Z Ultra for traveling, for media consumption, and more importantly, the big battery, which is a big feature in it. So the front of the device, unlike recent Xiaomi devices I've had, such as the Xiaomi Note 3 and, sorry, Xiaomi Redmi Note 3 and the Xiaomi Redmi 3, it's 2.5D glass. So it's curved glass, much the same as we saw on the Honor 8 and the ZTE Axon earlier. And curves, the back's nicely curved. It's not too thin, but very thin for the size of the screen. It fits well in the hand, and it's not too silly when you hold it up to your ear to try and make phone calls.
I think we kind of got over that. I think that was a concern a couple of years ago with phones getting bigger and bigger, that holding it up to your ear. I think now we're just used to you hold something up to your ear, and it just is the way it is.
Listen, this
know
is
I mean?
Way easier with a 5.7.
Yeah, I it's never even girlfriend. Risk that because I'm just afraid the one time I think I got it and I don't. And
I just got a couple of
them. Then again, I can't judge on this sort of thing because no street cred left. I'm probably a negative.
Well, because of the Mockadile case, I understand.
Yes. and my diet based on goat cheese. But one thing to warn everyone about with this phone is do not have it in your pocket when you're sitting down and have skinny jeans on, because you'll probably break a few ribs in the process.
That is a man problem, because they stopped putting pockets on women's jeans a long time ago.
Okay, yeah. But if you're a man, take it out of your pocket before you sit down. It can be very painful. I'm emotionally attached to this device in the sense that I have good vibes from it. I'm enjoying using it, and I think that it's going to knock some other device out of my top four at the moment.
You're getting good vibes, huh? I wonder if Hugo Barra smudges all of the phones before he sends them out to journalists.
Well, maybe he has. So
bless you, phone, to the reviewer you're going to. Bless you.
Well, this must have come through a few hands before it reached me, because it went through an AliExpress trader based in Shenzhen and then made its way to me via various warehouses.
All the customs.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I'd say it's a good device. It launches, currently it has MIUI or MIUI 7. We were promised MIUI 8 for release yesterday here, which is still today there. It still hasn't arrived. But MIUI, in this case, is based on Android 6.0, and MIUI 8 will still be based on Android 6.0. But it is one of the more up-to-date devices in Xiaomi's portfolio.
Nice. And kind of related to this, at least here in the U.S., because we're, you know, Xiaomi just does not do anything in the U.S.
They
market.
Sell a pair of headphones.
Well, they, yeah, so they do hardware that is not phones.
Pretty good headphones, by the way.
They have some other categories that they also sell here in the U.S., but as far as phones, they just haven't tackled that because, you know, there was always the concern of interfering with patents and all that sort of stuff. They ended up with a bunch of patents from Microsoft not too long ago. So that's certainly going to help. Hugo Barra told Bloomberg, or at least confirmed to Bloomberg, that the U.S. market is definitely in their sights and that they want to come here soon.
He said that 2 years ago.
He did say that 2 years ago.
So.
I feel like it's way more possible now. If they've landed and secured patent deals with companies like Microsoft, I think that those are moves in order to make that happen. I don't know how close
A Xiaomi phone with CyanogenMod installed on it and Microsoft apps. Boom, there you go.
Yep.
Right, and that has I will predict now that has no impact on the market.
Yeah.
unless it's like $99, it will have no impact.
Yeah.
So. Oh man, if it's $99.
I would say
carrier stores.
Another interesting thing is Xiaomi are moving away from being a MediaTek powerhouse. They're starting to differentiate and use Qualcomm chipsets.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
That may also be a help to them entering the U.S. market, having Qualcomm as a partner.
For sure.
The Redmi line of devices, they're affordable ones. Redmi, roughly translated from Chinese, means red millet rice. It's their budget but high value, but lots of bang for your buck smartphone. Their current Redmi 3, there are three variants. All three of them are using Qualcomm chipsets. Mm. And I wouldn't be surprised to see that being sold as the first Xiaomi device in the U.S.
And that's how you get all the appropriate LTE bands to work in the U.S. too.
Yeah, very good point.
With the Qualcomm chips. So that makes total sense.
Yeah. Cool. Oh, thanks for showing off. See. Oh, sorry, Ron.
I said we'll see.
We will, indeed. Thanks for showing off the Xiaomi Mi Max. That's certainly a device that is very hard to come across here in the U.S. Man, that was a supersized hardware portion.
I know.
Woo, you know what that means. We have to speed through, and I'm talking speed through the apps. So let's do it real quick.
Whoa.
Oh, that was even quicker than I expected.
That was even faster than we planned.
So now we're in the app section.
Okay, now here we go. Oh.
No, I was kind of hoping we were going to roll with it.
I know.
Sorry. All right, so we're in the app. So real quickly, so we saw Duo came out.
We saw it. And, we used it once.
We did. We used it once. It was pretty cool. Haven't used it again. Maybe one thing it could use is audio calls, and that's something that's coming soon.
Google. That's really it.
You still can't leave a message, though, for somebody, unless it's through Hangouts or through some other app.
Yeah. Duo feels very, very beta-y. Unfortunately, so
my mom downloaded it. I saw because she added to my list. But
yeah, my dad not only downloaded it, but then called me, and it was like, oh, cool, hey, dad.
This from now on, okay, Ron? I'm going to call you every day with video.
Not so much.
I've used Duo as well. I was a bit annoyed when I was sitting at Big Android Barbecue Europe last week, and Corey Robb from IDEA, he had Duo and it was available on his Android device at launch. In Europe, we had to wait a few extra days. I'm now happily using it, video calling my father. He has an iPhone. I have an Android device.
There you go.
And it works very well, even across borders from the UK to Italy. So I'm very happy with Duo in terms of its call performance compared to, say, Skype on cross-platform.
Resilience is kind of a key feature of it, for sure.
I will say one neat little thing from Duo that I noticed was that you could see who in your network has installed it by who's available to call versus who on your list you can invite. And so I was like, oh, these are the people who've installed Duo. Okay, like that's a neat little thing. So,
nice to know I can now hold video calls with that person.
Yeah. What about Allo? I want to hear about Allo.
When you talk about Duo, you find yourself also talking about Allo because Allo is the other component, at least from what Google showed off at Google I.O. This is more of the chat app. And Android Police apparently has some sort of solid source that's been feeding them tons of articles worth of information about Allo based on kind of a preview version of the app. So all this stuff can change. But I just kind of went through and highlighted a few things. First and foremost, poo emoji elicits an actual response from assistant that says, "What a nice poo." So if you put poo emoji into Allo, it actually recognizes that it is a very nice poo.
Jeez.
This is important
stuff. Is it positively reinforcing you for eating right?
Wait a minute, what?
You could do that every day. You could be like, "I ate right."
Oh, it's
poo emoji. My phone is going to make me feel better about my regulation. Like, that's how
I have thought of it that way, but it you're is an probably assistant. Right.
Yeah, it's an assistant, it guys.
It knows a lot about you, Flo.
Right? Come on. I'm just, this is what Google wants.
So does it have a bot you feed fruit and vegetable emojis the day before and the day after it?
You know what? That's a really good idea that I'm sure Google's going to put in there as an Easter egg or something. You can converse with Allo using the microphone to perform functions.
Lonely?
Say
just
things
talk to
like,
Allo.
What's the weather like today? And it'll give you an answer, and then the weather, I mean, you know, there's a Google Assistant happening behind the scenes here, very similar or an evolution, some would say, from Google Now.
Things are going to get dark with that really quick, by the way.
We'll see.
This is all Siri stuff. I mean, this is nothing. This is no groundbreaking thing. But what I think is interesting is that this Assistant stuff will be our first glimpse at what I'm hoping for is the Google Air Freshener, which is the, you know, the Amazon Echo competitor product.
Home.
The Home, which will be basically running this same software, but verbally, where you say, "Hey Google, what's the weather like? What's, you know, what meeting do I have?" and that sort of thing. So,
my God, I can't wait.
Google,
turn on the lights because I'm afraid of the dark.
I really wouldn't be surprised if all this drops at the same time.
No, turn the lights back on. I don't like the dark.
Incognito chats are end-to-end encrypted. We knew that they were gonna have some sort of encryption built in as an option. When you do that, Assistant does not work, along with a chat expiration timer that either person on either end can set. So as you're going,
I'm
going to
talk
decide,
so much smack.
Like five minutes.
I'm going to talk so much smack using this. Don't tell them I said this. It doesn't matter. It'll self-destruct.
Yes, exactly.
Screenshot.
That's true.
Maybe it'll prevent you from doing that. I don't know. Search all conversations from inside Allo. So full-on search of everything that you do. I'm assuming protected conversations wouldn't be involved in that search. I'm guessing, but... it's tied to the phone account like Duo is. So your account is actually tied to your phone number, but also optionally connected to your Google account. And that's because of the assistant hooks. So basically, by default, your Google account is looped into here, but you can turn that off in settings. You won't have some of the expanded assistant functionality, but you still be able to do chat and all that kind of stuff with people. Chats are tied to your phone number, like I said, so multi-device support won't be available. Each device requires its own number. And so, you know, there's no portability between your messages between devices. Image compression apparently is very heavy in Allo, heavier than Hangouts. So that concerns me a little bit because I always thought like, SMS sucks for sending images, so I'll send it through Hangouts and they'll get a better size, you know, out of convenience. I don't know what it's going to mean as far as
stop sending images.
Yes.
Just get over it.
We should really
only.
Stop sending images in this current world of the internet. And new sticker packs, including some racy ones with things like nipples, butt cracks, and condoms. And I'm not making that up.
Hey-o.
You know what, though? Condom commercials are numerous overseas. So,
so Google really nailed this one.
Well... you know, growing populations. Come on.
There we go. That's
this guy, though, this
things.
Guy makes me uncomfortable. This bowl makes me really uncomfortable.
Yeah, who knows? Maybe this is part of the test thing as a joke, and then it won't be
in the
Oh,
my God, he's so full of himself. Look at him. He thinks he's such...
Wow. He thinks he's so cool.
He thinks he's so hot, and he's not.
Whatever. It's just a bunch of bull.
Thanks, good job, Brian. Well done.
All right. Finally, I didn't put this in here. Matteo, you did. Tell us really quickly about Opera's free VPN.
Yes. So Opera, our favorite browser maker, apart from Google, have released a series of apps over the last few years, not just their browser, but Opera Max, a way of saving data on your mobile. Flo, you might be interested in this one. And now they've released Opera Free VPN. So this is a free VPN device service for your Android device. It's free and currently has 5 regions to connect through. So this isn't just for your browser, but it's for apps and other services as well. You can connect your phone through Canada, Germany, Netherlands, Singapore, and the United States. And it's very pleasant to use as far as VPN apps go. If you travel a lot, if you connect to the internet in public Wi-Fi, it's always advisable to have VPN to protect your data. This is very easy to use. It has some very funny illustrations. Opera is originally a Norwegian company, so there's a Viking mascot to Opera VPN in the app. I've been using it for part of the day today. It seems to work very well. If I'm in a web browser and open a new incognito window, whilst using it, I get some very scary German Google search pages, as well as if I want to have US content, I can connect through the US one. So it seems to work well. I haven't tried it with any video streaming services yet. I'll let you all know how I get on when I do.
Cool. Yeah, let's see. And so it's free VPN. Is it just for Opera browsing or is it for all?
No, this is for your whole phone. So apps, system apps, etc. So this is a fully fledged independent VPN app. Opera's web browser, Opera Browser, has VPN and ad blocking built into the browser.
Yeah.
And Opera Max, their data saving app, that does pretty much the same thing with ad blocking and reducing your data usage. But this VPN is a standalone app. So say your Twitter client can be routed through this VPN, therefore maybe bypassing geo-restrictions or securing you over a public Wi-Fi.
Yeah, and that's a really great use for it is when you're using public Wi-Fi. Yeah, might as well protect yourself in some way because it's very easy to drop in.
It's free and unlimited, and they say more locations will be coming soon. So you'll be able to tunnel through more countries soon, which is good.
There you go. Cool. Awesome.
By the way, fun fact about the Vikings.
Oh, yes?
They're the reasons there are no forests in Iceland. That's all.
If I knew how to put a question mark at the end of that sound effect...
I learned it on a tour. I took a tour in Reykjavik in Iceland, and they said the Vikings chopped down all the trees. So,
don't you have some sports ball variants with a team called the Vikings in the U.S.?
Yes,
yes, they're in Minnesota.
Minnesota.
Okay,
it's true. I'm so hungry now. Let's do the arena before I die of hunger.
Please,
it's time for the arena. Let's do it.
Many enter, but only one lives. Android.
Oh, this day.
Arena.
I don't want it to seem like I'm not having fun. This is a lot of fun, and we're having a great episode. It's a ton of fun.
It's a ton of fun, and I want to, because it's almost 11 o'clock here in New York, and I want to complain, and you guys haven't had dinner yet, but for poor Mateo, it's like, like 4 a.m., Jesus.
The dude is getting up in literally 2 hours to go to the airport.
Just don't sleep.
Before the show.
Just don't sleep.
Ridiculous.
That's my plan.
You're Italian. You can live off caffeine. You're fine.
All right. Let's move on.
All right, Mateo, we're going to get you in bed in 5 minutes. We're going to tuck you in, but not until then. We're not going to do it until we do the arena, okay? So first of all,
it's
last
week, 33.
bit.ly/AAAshow279 was what we had last week. We had Mars, we had Stitch and Share, we had One View Calendar. The votes are in. Stitch and Share wins. Ron, you are the winner. I am the loser, the returning loser, but I did get second place with 29%. One View Calendar, which was Gina Trapani's app, got 28% third place. So Guest does not get it. Ron gets it. And
that puts us after 33 weeks. Jason, you and I are tied at 7. Geez. Flo is in second with 9, and Team Gina and Guests are winning with 10 wins so far.
This is
unprecedented.
First the worst, second the best.
Sure.
That's me.
All right, so that means that...
That means I go first because I was the first loser.
But I didn't go last week.
No, well, so you go... So Jason, Flo, Mateo, me.
Okay, let's go.
Okay. Oh, by the way, go ahead and take my screen.
Oh.
A cat is here.
Oh, geez, of course.
Ooh. Of course a cat is here.
What number?
Let's see here. Number 135. I already collected 124. So there it is. It's a black cat. And I could name it if I wanted to.
Black cats are bad luck.
There is... Uh-oh. I should get rid of it. I'm not going to do well in the arena this week. Okay, so my app is called Conscient. So what is Conscient? It's a context awareness app. But what's different about this... So, you know, we have these, right? Like with Tasker and all that kind of stuff. This is built around Google's Awareness API. Awareness API is built into, I believe, Marshmallow... And then now, of course, Nougat. And it's a certain aspect of Android that is tied specifically to different conditions that your phone might be in. For example, does it detect that your phone, that you're running? Like it actually, you know, has the ability to know that you're running based on the movements of the phone. Are you walking? Are you in a vehicle? So it knows at what speed you're traveling when you're in a vehicle and it can detect this. Are you on a bicycle? These are all things that are useful for Android underneath the hood in ways like mapping and all that sort of stuff. Also, you know, other contexts that are included are like headset plugged in versus unplugged. So it's a starting point, but I think the difference here is that in some ways, other contextually aware apps are doing this in more of a hand-fisted sort of way. This app is doing it tied into an API that exists solely to improve your battery life. It's created specifically to monitor these things in a battery efficient way. So I could create a context. I'll go ahead and go in here. These are all the contexts that I have access to currently. Apparently, the developer is going to be adding in more context soon, some stuff like location and time. This literally just launched, I think, a day ago. So you can see here, like, I can have phones plugged in and walking or running, you know, all these different kind of combinations specific to what my action is. If I'm running... headphones plugged in and running and walking, let's say. So I'll go ahead and do that. Now I have an action. I'll go ahead and pick an action. I can have it detect that I've got my headphones plugged in and I'm running or walking, so I probably want a music app, so I could go through here and find play music. And then if any of those conditions are met based on that API, the recognition from that API, then when I plug in headphones, it would automatically launch my play music and I'd be good to go. Or you could maybe tie it to a fitness app so that when you, you know, turn on the screen and you're running, it gives you the fitness app and you can see how many, you know, steps you've tracked. Or you can do all sorts of shortcuts as well, like maybe productivity shortcuts, you know, tied into Google Drive based on a certain scenario or whatever. And that'll get more and more handy as things are included in, like, location and time and that sort of stuff. So you know, it's a little similar to what you may have seen before with some other contextual apps, but it's designed to be battery efficient because of the way that it's working with the Awareness API underneath. Super low installs. It's a brand new app, pretty much. It's developed by the same guy that did Cromer, if you remember that from months ago. So it's designed well. It has a nice UI, and it's a good starting point. It's called Conscient, Context Aware App. And you can find it for free. For free, you get a limit of 3 fences, as they call it. For the pro version, you get unlimited fences. And there are different pay levels for, like, giving them a cup of coffee all the way to just, like, buying the full unlock, which is $4.49. That's how you make a living being a developer on mobile. So there you go.
And this guy's a good developer, so, like, definitely support him. I mean, Cromer really impressed me. I had that in the arena a couple weeks ago, and this looks like a really cool app. So, yeah, go support him.
There you go. All right, so that is Conscient. Check it out for yourself. Okay, so Flo, you are up next. Go for it.
All right, guys. Well, today I am showing off an app that only works if you've managed to update to Nougat or you're on the Nougat beta. Because I just felt with Nougat coming out this week, why the heck not? It's called Weather Quick Setting Style. It is not an app that I can click on and show you. All I can show you is that it lives right here in my quick settings. and you can see it
lives right
my...
there next to the cat that may appear someday.
So when I expand this, of course, you can see that this is the weather. It is partly cloudy, 23.1 degrees Celsius. Guys, I'm still learning how to convert Celsius, and this is going to help me because this is something I need to know in life. By the way, a bunch of you sent me formulas on Twitter, and I really appreciate that.
By the way, none of those formulas make sense. The Fahrenheit to Celsius conversion is like alchemy. It makes no sense. Anyway, go on.
This app does nothing. It does nothing. It literally just lives. What you do is you go in and edit, and you drag it in there wherever you want it. It will appear in here in the add tile section once you install it, and then you add it, and then you use it to check the weather.
That's all it does. Single use.
And then if you want to just do this, like if you just want to, you know, check on apps, then you can always see like what the weather's like outside. Outside it's cloudy and nighttime right now. And there are 14 different weather icons.
Cool. Is there a way to change the settings from degrees communism to degrees freedom?
No.
Thank you.
But my
much.
People are.
Told you, Flo. He'd Mateo brings the goods.
There's nothing. I like forgot the name of this, which is what, like why I was scrambling before. I was like, oh my gosh, because it's not in my app drawer. It just lives.
What happened to it?
It just lives. It's great.
You
it doesn't do
have
anything.
To go into apps.
It's so
settings,
easy.
Apps in order to find.
I just
it there
wanted an extra
it.
Thing. Okay, and if you got Nougat, you can put it in there. And you know what? I hope more people do this because, frankly, I'm tired of widgets on my screen, y'all. I'm tired of them.
Yeah.
There you go.
It's all in there. Nice. Excellent. Weather quick. Settings tile. It's kind of the name is exactly what it is. There
name is what it is.
It's extremely simple.
All right, Mateo, it's your time to shine. Give us your 2-minute review of the thing that I won't say out loud because I'll let you say it.
Okay, then. So this week I'm participating in the App Arena for Team GG&G, which is Guests, Gina, and Goats, with Goat Simulator, Waste of Space. So this is the third installment of Goat Simulator for Android. It's
at this
available
point, are they
all,
are they only play. Making these? Are they only making this game for you to show it on the show, Mateo?
I hope so, because I have quite a few feature requests to ask them to put in it. I'm sure Brian would also like to see some corgis appear in the game every now and again.
Yeah, probably so.
So essentially, this is variant of Goat Simulator, where you're based in a space station. You have to go around headbutting people with money. The premise is that you are trying to crowdfund your own space station. So by destroying things and headbutting people, you are essentially crowdfunding your progression in the level. So the more you destroy things and people, the more you can explore this sandbox environment in a space station. So this seems to be a fictitious stock exchange. There are people in the booths you can headbutt. If you go over to the ladder, I think you can do lateral damage.
Lateral damage.
Oh, jeez.
So you might. This may be a bit alien to the audience in the US, but I believe Coffee Stain Studios are a Scandinavian outfit. We're having quite a laugh with the variants of Goat Simulator. So just as in the normal Goat Simulator, you can jump, headbutt, lick things and tie your tongue to them. Once you progress in the level, you go through an airlock and you get your goat spacesuit, which is very fetching, with a helmet. And you can go mining as well. So there are lots of different parts of...
What?
Jason, tilt the phone.
Oh, sorry. I was so entranced.
Yeah, I know.
By my gameplay.
And there are many different areas of the space base to explore. Now, as I mentioned earlier, there are two places to get this game. You can have the paid version available in the Google Play Store. It's £3.99 from the Google Play Store. Or you can get the Amazon Underground version, which is totally free. And support the developer maybe as much as you would by actually paying them.
Really?
So Amazon's Underground's monetization works in such a way where Amazon are going to be paying the developer depending on the length of engagement of the user with the app. So every minute you play the app, you are earning the developer a fraction of a pay. Add that up over millions of users and hundreds of hours of goat simulating. The developer could end up making more money than they would by selling a one-off version of the game.
That's
an interesting monetization process. I wonder how that's going to work out for developers.
Well, my understanding is that games developers love this, especially if they have a challenging open sandbox game with lots of Easter eggs and challenges and things to find.
Speaking of Easter eggs, Jason, did I just see you run over Abe Lincoln?
Maybe.
Was that who it was back there?
It kind of looked Abe Lincoln-ish. Yeah. Lincoln-like.
He had the Lincoln-like top hat on, so.
Yeah. It's really hard to avoid glare in here, I'm realizing. You always bring the goat. I think what I'm most impressed with is that every time you come on, there is a new Goat Simulator game to be brought in.
It's uncanny.
I don't know how they keep doing it, but they do.
Yeah. Well, you know what they say about correlation and causation.
I understand now. Goat Simulator, waste of space. It won't be a waste of space on your phone, okay?
No, it's a very well built app. I'd say it's less crashy than previous versions of Goat Simulator.
Well, that's not a feature.
It's not a feature, but I'd say all the bugs we have come to love in Goat Simulator are still there, and they still are hilarious. So occasionally gravity not working and heads moving in strange ways, they're all still there.
Pretty much, and getting stuck in between things.
A vote in the arena for Goat Simulator Waste of Space is a vote for Team GG and G.
Excellent. I think you have a good chance. I mean, anytime Goat Simulator comes into the arena, it kind of seems like it at least is good competition. It forces us to raise the bar.
What's Ron's competition? I'm curious.
What I find fascinating is that we've been spending years with these Goat Simulators. It's literally been years now at this point. All right, so my app for the arena. We were talking earlier about the Nexus nav bar change that's going to happen on the bottom of Nexus devices with Nougat. But if you feel the need to customize your nav bar at the bottom of your phone, this new app will allow you to do that. It's called Navbar Apps, and pretty simply put, what it does is you got to give it a device access to redraw over the screen in your settings, and then what you can do is that little bottom at the bottom of the display, you see the triangle, circle, square buttons. Typically and historically, that has been transparent with the latest version of at least not the latest version, but the more recent versions of Android. With this app now, what you can do is you can change the color of that bar. You can either inherit a color from the app, which is the first option, which Jason just turned off, or you can choose the second option to choose a color from the palette. So what you can do is you can force a color and just hit the settings button, and you can choose any color around there. So if you want a neon green navbar, now you can
gorgeous.
Have it. Or what you can do is you can use that space to give you some information so that in the bottom left-hand corner, if you tap on the battery percentage, you'll see there – you might change the color there, Jason, to make it a little easier to tell. There you go. So the bar – the two colors in the bar represents your battery usage. So imagine left to right, your full battery, and it's slowly going from right to left. And if you hit the settings, what you can do is you can adjust that to be – instead of being horizontal, it can be a vertical indicator. You can make it small, or you can make it there you go, see?
That's cool.
And you can make it – yeah, so pretty neat. And what that can do is let you know how much battery you've got left just by looking at your phone, which is pretty neat. If you go back to the fourth option, you can choose if for some reason you really want a image back there. You can hit the gear, hit the settings in there, and you can show an image instead of the color. So if you want the rainbowy cat or the camouflage there or something like that, you can alter it to have a themed background. And there's a bunch of different options that are available there for you to choose from.
I think I found my favorite.
Oh, I know, the poo. And then it looks like he gives a little preview of what's to come. He's going to be putting in show music bars while music is playing down below. That hasn't gone live yet, but that shows you that he's going to be adding more stuff to this app. Oh, so if you want to customize your Navbar apps is the app to do it. It's pretty simple, pretty elegant, and it does some neat little stuff to help you customize your phone.
See, I've got little so there poopies it is. Down there.
Yep. Now your dream of poopies on your Navbar can come true.
Finally, so, I can do this.
Yep.
Now
I need so
the poopies to be actionable.
Yep.
They're not yet.
I don't
want to
know what
out.
You want them to do.
I don't know what I want it to do either.
I don't know, man.
I'll need the version with goats on it.
Yes, we need a nav bar with some goats down there.
Yeah.
We'll work on that. So Navbar Apps is the name of that app. So it's Conscient, Weather, Quick Settings Tile, Goat Simulator, Waste of Space, or Navbar Apps. I had to change the URL last minute, Brian, so if you're having a hard time pulling it up, it's bit.ly/AAAPoll280. Place your vote. Let us know what you think. We'll check in on it next week.
Jeez, okay, Brian.
See,
make a hasty decision.
Yeah, see?
So, yay.
May the goat be with you, says Captain J.
Goats.
That's just how it works. When Matteo Doni is with us, thank you so much for literally sacrificing your sleep for this show.
Yeah.
And I'm sorry about tomorrow.
I owe you sleep.
Yeah.
Somehow.
We'll give you sleep somehow.
I'll send you a bottle of melatonin.
Thank you. I don't know if that's legal in this country, but that would be very nice. Thank you. No, it's been a pleasure. I always love staying up for All About Android. I sometimes do it just as a viewer. So thank you very much for having me back on the show.
Right on, Matteo. CoolSmartphone.com, at TotalLeo on Twitter. And let us know when you're in the area. Please.
Please.
And thank you. So end of September, hopefully.
Right.
I'll be in a hotel pretty much next door to the new Twit studio.
Excellent. We'll be right around the corner, and then we can get a beer. It's a thing. It's a thing.
Brian, do not encourage him. Do not encourage him. I'm telling you.
Matteo, get some sleep. We will not be offended if you drop off and pass out or stick around. It's up to you. But
don't miss
thank
your
you.
Thank you.
Ron, what about you, sir?
Yeah, real simple. It's late. Just go to twitter.com/ronixo. That's where all my crap is. There you go.
Excellent. Flo, what about you?
Well, this is my last week on PCWorld.com and Greenbot.com. Next week, I will be going to a new venture. My last day is Thursday. You'll find out what I'm doing next week. I promise I will let you know. It's just logistically.
Mm-hmm.
I can't really talk about it yet.
Exciting.
I mean,
exciting.
I can, but, you know, I also want to keep it a little exciting. Let's make it exciting. All right.
Brian, what about you?
Considering we're in the new studio, I don't have a camera. Keep it quick. Just follow me at @cranky_hippo and do Know How with Padre on Thursday.
Follow my voice.
We're all literally about to fall asleep at this point.
I'm
and then
so
I realize
hungry.
We have nothing to complain about because Matteo
really
is still
don't.
Awake.
Follow the goat.
Brian.
The cheese is making me salivating so much.
Notice that in that picture, I'm wearing my Lagunitas Brewery hoodie.
Oh, you are!
What?
Cool.
Nice.
Oh, there's a dog. There's a dog.
Representing.
Far too much free advertising to Lagunitas.
I know, right? They need to become a sponsor now that they're there, and
actually,
they'll give us a keg every week.
Actually.
That's a really good
idea. They're down the street now.
I know, right? We can just roll the keg over
and
here.
And then
big deal.
We can have beer during All About Android.
Parties. I like this. Android parties. About.me/JasonHowell. That's all you need to know about me. And that is it for this week at the new studio. Thanks for forgiving us for going very long. And thanks for sticking with us through the transition. Voicemail 347-SHOW-AAA. Email and video mail AAA@twit.tv. Twitter @AndroidShow. Reddit twitaaa.reddit.com. Show notes of past episodes twit.tv/AAA. Also YouTube and iTunes. And every Tuesday at 5:30 p.m. Pacific-ish, except today, which is way different, at twit.tv/live. That's it for this week. We'll see y'all next week on another episode of All About Android. Bye, everyone. Mm-hmm.